From the trails, woods, and waters of the Great Lakes State to the Michigan Talk Network, it's Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Welcome to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, your host all over the Great Lakes State and all over the world at wildmichiganradio.com. That is our website that will get you links to our friends at Not Just Guns, Cedar Street at 127 in Mason. They've got ammo. Oh, Lord, they've got ammo. And if you're looking for ammunition, which is like gold lately, it seems every time we get these new administrations in don't agree with what's already been written in stone for our country, it seems that people stock up on ammunition, on firearms and things of that nature, and that's okay. And but Not Just Guns, they've got the ammunition, and they will take care of you. Find them online at notjustguns.com. Also want to thank our friends at Conquest Sense. We're going to be talking to Doug Roberts, I am sure, very soon about what's going on with the deer herd and when we can start expecting to see fawns out there. And then how healthy the herd is going to be after the winter we had, especially the late winter part. Also, I want to thank our friends at the United Deer Farmers of Michigan getting us underway. Our good friend Tom Nelson returns to us. He is the host of the American Archer on the Outdoor Channel, a Michigan guy himself. And we're going to talk a little bit about bow fishing, because coming up in May is when it really kicks off here for people that like to go out and do bow fishing. The carp are doing their spawning about May and starting to get into that mode. And that's when things are really starting to get visible. Tom, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Grant. Pleasure to be here this morning.
It's good to have you. And let's talk a little bit about bow fishing, because every time I think about it, it's June and the big push in May has already passed me. So we're getting a jump on things. Kind of like Mother Nature is with weather.
Yeah. And, you know, I have to just tell you that things are a bit different this year as far as from my observation. Yesterday, I was pleasantly surprised to see a large number of carp already in the shallows, and it was very tempting to load up last night and go out and fling a few arrows. My guess is, and again, this is what I'm observing, it looks like it's going to be early this year. I mean, usually I don't see the numbers anywhere close to what I saw yesterday in the shallows this time of year. It's usually late April or early May before I get excited. But I'm telling you, from what I'm seeing, it's going to be early this year.
You know, Tom, I really think a lot has to do with water temperatures coming up, because we've had air temps in the 80s. And rivers not being as deep as some of the big bodies of water, they're going to heat up a little bit as well, quicker. And I really think that would really jumpstart things as far as that is concerned as well.
Absolutely. And it was a river that I was, one of my favorite bow fishing spots that I was checking out. And I agree, it's definitely the water temperature. And we've been blessed with such a very mild March. You know, and now going into the 1st of April, like you said, 80-degree temperatures on those river systems, it doesn't take long to trigger that, temperature rise in the water, and then that triggers, of course, the carp thinking about spawning. So to all those bow fishermen out there, all I can say is get your gear ready.
Now let's talk about that. Tom Nelson, our guest here on the American on Wild Michigan, host of the American Archer. Tom, let's talk about the rig a little bit, because I've got one. I've got a nice setup, a recurve bow, not too heavy a poundage. Just nice takedown from Martin that I got years ago. And I got the Ames or the AMS bow fishing system on it, and it that's quite the nice system. It's not like the old fishing reel looking thing. It's like a bottle with a bunch of string and the arrow that they give you.
That's correct. You know that, and that's the same system that I use. Durand, it's quick when the action is hot and you want to, get another arrow off quickly. There's no system, better as far as quick shooting, and it's pretty foolproof as far as getting line tangled, et cetera. It just seems to work really well. And, with the old spools. Now, nothing against, the old screw-in spools, if you want to call it that, though, basically a plastic or metal ring that you just wrap the line around. That works, but it's slower, it tangles, and can be a little bit more of a mess. But, a good reel, like your system aims, it works great. And there's a few others out there, which makes it a little more pleasurable out there, especially if you're shooting after dark.
Tom, these old systems, people, how they've gone back to the traditional archery methods, a lot of them. A lot of people out there looking for that vintage bear reel setup, the old bear fishing combo. And you know what? And me being in the antiques collectible business, they're hard to find. And when you find them, they're not cheap.
Yeah, yeah. That was the old standby. There was another company called Mohawk Archery that made metal spools, if you want to call it, that were kind of like the old metal bear one that screwed into the front there. But, I'm blessed. I actually have one of those old bear reels that's in, like, mint condition. And I'm going to tell you, it doesn't get out carp shooting at all. It kind of just stays in my archives. It's just cool to see it. But, yeah, those were the old vintage reels like that, hard to find. But they still work really well if you're, looking for something like that to use. And it's an inexpensive way to get out there. If you find an old used reel or something, throw it on your bow and go.
Yeah, it's cool, man, because there was, with necessity comes invention, and, those, of course, the early ones, and even way back, I've seen the ones that look like the old Zebco 202 on the front.
Absolutely.
Now, that one kind of throws me off a little bit.
Yeah. You don't see those in use, at least I haven't seen anybody bow fishing with one in quite a while, to be honest with you, but I'm sure there are some still out there.
Probably good reason for it, but there's that one guy that swears by it.
Oh, yeah. I just have to throw this out there. I remember this. Now, this we're talking 30, 40 years ago, but I was over doing some carp shooting on a lake, and there was an individual who had a homemade system on there. It was basically made out of wood, and he had his line wrapped around this wood and then a big bolt that went into the front of his bow. It was the doggondest thing I ever saw, but it was on, it shot effectively. I mean, it was just funny how something so simple that you could make at home would work. So, when it comes to shooting rough fish, I guess everything's fair play, and it's interesting all the different setups that you see.
Yeah, I can see somebody mounting like an old soup can on their boat, too.
Oh, no.
Because it would work.
Honestly,
it would work.
Graham, people have done that.
That's what I mean. I pictured that. As soon as you started talking, I'm like, you know what? Somebody's got an old soup can on the front of their bow, and it works just fine.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's the beauty, of doing, carp shooting or, shooting gar or any sort of rough fish with a bow, is it's not an expensive sport. If you've got an old, like you said, an old recurve of some sort or an old compound that you bought at a garage sale for $25, that makes a great carp fishing outfit. And you don't need a lot of bow weight, so it's just ideal. And then something, of course, you can shoot with fingers, like you said, like in your case, your recurve, that makes for a faster, easier system when you're out there carp shooting. Like my bow, Durant, I don't hesitate if I have to throw it in the bottom of the boat to grab a fish or grab the arrow. And if it gets scratched, there's just one more notch in it.
On bows for fishing like that, for bow fishing, and other companies have jumped in as well because it's become more of a popular sport. But we're going to talk about that here in a couple of minutes with Tom Nelson, host of the American Archer. Again, if you are just catching us for the first time on WLUN 100.9 ESPN Radio FM, baby, in Midland, Saginaw Bay City area, we appreciate you joining us. More coming your way. I'm Durant Martinez on Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network.
You can join us on Facebook or listen to podcasts, all from our website at wildmichiganradio.com. Now, Back to Duran Martinez and Wild Michigan. Cross the line at an altitude time. Interstate 94 more miles through the Great Lakes State. Turn it up so the bus ain't late. Another night in Michigan.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, and apologies to the first segment there. Do not adjust your radio, as a bad mic, so we got that all figured out now. And for you FM guys listening, it's not an AM thing. It's just going to happen. For your AM guys, business as usual. Appreciate you joining us. I'm Duran Martinez, host of Wild Michigan, which you are listening to right now, being brought to you by our friends, the United Deer Farmers of Michigan. A great group of people not only looking out for the health and welfare of the herds that they build, but the ones outside of their parameters as well, and looking for the answers to CWD and trying to help us all here in Michigan. Right now, getting back to our good friend Tom Nelson, the American Archer, host on the Outdoor Channel for many, many years. And Tom, you're going to be down in the Michiana area. I've always loved that. Michiana weather, this and that. But the one that really fried my mind when I was down south was the Tuckasee weather. I don't think I fell out of the bed hard when I heard that one.
Huh. Where's Tuckasee at?
It was the Kentucky-Tennessee border.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah.
That's all right. Yep. But Michiana, no, yeah, we get that. But Tuckasee, that was a new one on me.
Yeah. I'm going to, Duran, next Thursday, the 14th of April, and 15th and 16th of April. The 15th, 16th, and the 17th of April. Geez, Opeza, I don't even know where I'm going to be. I will be at the Michiana Event Center in Shipshawana for the Mossy Oak Midwest Classic. So that should be good fun. And, you know, a lot of us are biting at the bullet, you know, for something to do if you can't get outdoors or want to, you know, just go look at hunting and fishing gear and outfitters. It's I'll be there all 3 days. Come down and say hi. I look forward to seeing people and just being out and about again.
Now, our turkey season starts on the 17th, but you'll be hanging out with guys like Cuz Strickland, who is the turkey guru, down there in Indiana.
You know, I've been thinking about that too, because, you know, I love the bow hunt turkeys, and I'm thankful this year with a few, you know, with some of the changes, I've got 6 weeks. I don't have just a week or a short period of time to turkey hunt with my bow because I need all the time I can get. But with it opening the 17th, I feel bad I'm missing opening day, I guess you could say. But with the lengthy season, I'm not too tore up over it. So I'm looking forward to that. But that's a whole other story we'll have to talk about sometime with turkey season coming up. But like we were talking earlier, bow fishing's on my mind right now.
It is, you know, and like you said, you've seen those rough fish coming up to shallower water, kind of surfacing a little bit. And what people need to remember, if you've never done this, that there is some science involved. I mean, there's science involved with anything we do with a bow, but there's this little thing called refraction that comes into play.
Yeah.
when you're fishing for something that's underwater. I mean, hey, it looks like it's right there. You think you can point right at it, but that's not the case. There's a little bit of angles and geometry involved in this whole thing.
Absolutely, Grant, and that kind of made me chuckle when you brought that up. Here recently, a year or two ago, I took a friend of mine who's a extremely good archer and extremely good, and he had never been bow fishing before. So I thought, what, you know, no better place to break him in than Saginaw Bay.
Oh yeah.
So he went out, got all the good gear, and off we took. Took the boat, and shot after shot after shot after shot, to the point where he was yelling and about ready to throw his bow in the water. He missed and missed again and again and again, and this was an all day shoot. Carp were everywhere. We're out in the daylight, didn't have club stars. We finally gave up on him. The rest of us had done great. We're pulling into the dock to load up. The boat and stuff. We're 100 yards away. We see a carp. He takes his last shot of the trip and finally gets one.
Oh, my
last
gosh.
Last shot he took. Gets a nice carp and loads it in there. But it just goes to show you better know what you're doing. And that means aim low, depending on how deep they are. And that just comes with experience, knowing your equipment, you might miss a few to start, but you don't aim right at that fish. You aim below them, and if they're deep, you aim even lower. You almost, you know, if you miss, it's 99.9% of the time, you're shooting on top of them.
Tom Nelson, our guest here on Wild Michigan. Tom, you know, I learned at an early age what refraction was when you, like, you're out in the lake or something like that, you know, and you put a stick in the water, and it gets that funky bend. Because you look down, and it looks like that whole thing just bent on you, and it's not the case. The stick is still going straight down, but the refraction due to the angle of the reflection of the light on top of the water and all this other stuff, that's why it looks like it's twisted that way and going away from it. And knowing that going into bow fishing is probably going to make your life a lot easier.
Yes, sir. You know, and that's really important. And, you know, another thing, too, is a great pair of sunglasses, Polaroids, so that you can see in that water on a bright day, or, you know, if you're doing some daytime fishing, you know, that's just mandatory.
And if I may, I'm gonna plug Costa, not because they're paying me, but because they do have absolutely by far the best glass sunglasses on the market that I've used, man. And they're not the cheapest by any stretch, but they truly are the best. And that's just me talking here, well, but
good glasses are really important.
They are. My friend Matthew Solon, who guides all over the world fishing. That's what he uses as well, and his a prescription. So yeah, without those, he's kind of lost. But looking forward to getting out and doing some carp fishing and or maybe gar fishing off the boat. And Tom, people are probably wondering, what do you do with them after the fact? I know they make great fertilizer, but you know, what are we doing with them anyway?
Well, you know, I use them in my food plots. I think that they're a great source of, as you said, fertilizer. Nothing better. I mean, I've got a buddy that he takes and everyone I can get him. He has a large, large garden, and he'll take a barrel full if I have him. And he's a big fan of it. But that's the best bet. You know, I've talked to people that smoke them and eat them. Mm-hmm. I, you know, it's whatever you want to do. But again, it's an invasive fish. When you're shooting carp and stuff, and you're doing our ecosystem a favor by getting out there and putting some arrows in them and getting them out of there. So I'm a big fan of, as you know, of bow fishing. But if you have a garden or even trees or anything like that, it's great to utilize them as fertilizer. Right? That's my number one thing as far as I urge people to use them. And again, if you've got food plots, great time of year to be. Fertilizing those a little bit.
Well, Tom, I have to applaud you for bringing that up. The European carp, what we normally see in the rivers and the big water and things like that, those are invasive. They were brought over here as a food source from England for people to eat and then put into our rivers. So, you know, they were introduced, unfortunately, by us. And that's why they're there. So, you know, when we look at other invasive species like the Asian carp, things of that nature, those were brought in, unfortunately, but these were brought in as a food source. So, yeah, smoke them and eat them. And don't worry about getting your papers wet. Tom Nelson, thank you so much, brother. Appreciate you joining us.
Thanks, Ryan. Always a pleasure.
Check him out down at the Michiana Event Center in Shipshawana next week for the big Mossy Oak event. I'm Duran Martinez. I'll speak with Mark Sack next here on the Michigan Talk Network.
To everyone that has served this great country, keeping us free to enjoy the great outdoors, thank you. From Duran Martinez and Team Wild Michigan.
I'm just trying to be a father, raise a daughter and a son, be a lover to their mother, everything to everyone. Up and at 'em bright and early, I'm all business in my suit. Yeah, I'm dressed up for success.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, your host. Going on, we're working on our 15th year of the show, man. Very happy to be doing that with our friends at Conquest Deer Sense, United Deer Farmers of Michigan. Not just guns, helping bring the show to you. And, of course, and I said this last week, I'll say it again, I'm very happy and excited to be over in the Midland-Saginaw Bay City area. And I don't want to forget Pin Conning. I really like Pin Conning as well. On 100.9 ESPN WLUN FM radio, the Loon out there, and they'll be carrying Wild Michigan on the weekends, and I'm very happy about that because that, I mean, Michigan is a sportsmen and women minded state. We are built on. Industry was built on the outdoors pretty much here in the state, and we're very happy to have the greatest natural resources, 20% of the world's fresh water around the state of Michigan. And there's a lot to do. And, you know, that area of the state has always been, especially, you know, like 30s, 40s, and 50s, a very big area of destination for hunting and fishing. And my good friend Mark Sack joins us right now. He's an outdoor writer. And Mark, historically, to me, the Thumb area has always been that sportsman area. I mean, not that up north isn't, but there's something about that Saginaw area, the Saginaw Bay area, and all the great upland game hunting around the Thumb. Man, it's just been one of those places that's just been incredible.
Yeah, it's a beautiful area. Really, it's very different from the rest of the state. It's very flat. We've had a lot of areas that were real thick overgrown areas, deferred area, Lapeer State Game Area, you know. And so there's actually, I have some of the best wild ringnecks. I heard probably 8 different roosters crow this morning around my place. And people say, yeah, the birds are gone. Yeah, kind of.
Right. Yeah, just keep thinking that.
So I really enjoy this time of year. There's so many things going on. And I've been, believe it or not, I've been fishing my Inman Lake, and it's that time of year when the midges start to hatch. Mm. And these midges, I'm going to tell you what, these things are everywhere. And, I mean, they fly in your eyes and your mouth, and they're kind of sweet tasting. But, you know, the bluegills love them, and they come in very, very shallow. And geez, 2 days ago, I hit a crappie. I thought it was a brown trout thing. His back come right out of the water, the 14-inch crappie, you know.
Wow.
So it's a great time to be on inland lakes, too. And we've got several of those in the area that we fish, and we do some catch and release bass fishing on. And my May article for Woods and Water News is have a crappie May.
Nice.
Yeah. And I got that big old crappie in my big old hand, you know, is showing that they get real active right now. And from here on out, they'll soon move out, obviously, to really start staking out their spawning areas. And those crappie are probably close to being spawned out, actually, but the bluegills are going to be moving out to deeper water here very shortly, and summer's on then, buddy.
You know, and we were just talking to Tom Nelson, my good friend from the American Archer television show, about bow fishing and how he has seen early activity, in the bodies of water with carp already. I mean, this is something that's reserved for, like, early, mid-May. But because
even
of
June.
Yeah, even June.
You see carp, you know, splashing all over the surface first week of June.
And here
so
we are with the fake
is,
summer.
But you look at the tree buds, and they're all ready to pop already. And that's usually the first week of May as well in our area. So things have jumped up, no question about it. The only thing that I'm worried about is that we need some rain. We need more rain here because we're getting a little dry.
I was thinking the same thing as we look out and like, yeah, it's green now, but you know what? We have not had the precipitation we normally would have by now. April's not been the rainy April. We got a little bit of late snow, but you know what? That pretty much all evaporated quickly with the warmer air temps that we had. It didn't get that chance to slowly kind of melt, puddle up, and then seep into the ground.
Right. We've got, you know, I'm looking at fields that were tilled last fall. And when it's windy, there's a dust storm already. So that's way, way, way too early for that as well. But I hear the next week we're supposed to get on and off showers, so that's a good thing. We're not going to go into a drastic drought right away. Hopefully the weather pattern of April will give us those showers we need for not May flowers, but May flies. How's that?
Yeah, that'd be nice. I mean, and be thankful. I'm going to tell you this because last week we had my friend Owen O'Hagan, who lives in Scariff, Ireland, County Clare. They are in such a lockdown over there because of the COVID that they're not allowed to go fishing. He lives on a 33,000 or 300,000 acre lake, okay, which is known for wild brown trout and huge, huge pike. Nobody fishing this lake. And it's never crowded anyway, but he said there was one lone cowboy breaking all the rules out there on the lake when we recorded the show last week. And I can't imagine. I mean, look, we've had a totalitarian type government here as of late because of this whole thing. But to try and stop Michiganders from going fishing, that would be outright craziness.
Well, we did it last year, if you remember.
Well,
I was, you know, I mean, we couldn't get in a boat and go. We could fish, but we couldn't get in a boat. And you weren't supposed to be going more than 20 miles out, you know, from your home and all that good stuff. And it was tough. I mean, and I still haven't got down on Erie or Detroit River yet, and I know it's going like crazy, but I have a high risker living with us, my brother-in-law, and so I'm mm-hmm. going to be patient. I got my second shot coming on Saturday, and, you know, I'm an old hospital guy, man. I'm a retired out of a regional medical center, sat in a whole bunch of infection control meetings over time, probably had more vaccines that were mandated to me than most people ever have, so I'm going for it. I'm going to get it, and then I'm going to fish. You better watch out.
I'll be watching out for sure. if I see it coming, I might have to smuggle myself into your boat. But other than that, no, I'm really excited because we've got so many opportunities, and for morel hunters too, you might want to be on the lookout a little early because I can see those things popping up like crazy soon.
Absolutely, and the smelt are running right now. I saw several different folks that were showing off their pails full of smelt. So they still go. It's hit or miss, obviously, and you've got to be there at the right time. But I'm going to tell you what, if people wanted to go over to the river in Port Huron tonight, I will bet you money that you're going to see some smelt taken over there.
You just cost me like $15 because now I got to go to the local restaurant and find some.
I'm telling you, they're really starting to roll over there. And I've seen, you know, we used to go north of Port Huron in the little streams that came into the Thumb. And these streams, were you could jump across them, you know, and they were full. They were absolutely full of fish. Now, you don't see that anymore, and you can't access it anymore.
Like right.
You used to be able to. But, you know, there's still some nights over there that they have a real good haul over there. So, you know, it's that time of year. It's time, and pretty soon we're going to be on those walleyes over on the St. Clair River. Those walleyes are moving up. I'm just seeing folks starting to get them now, and all those fish are really pretty much done spawning in the Detroit. You know, you probably heard that.
Mm-hmm.
So that now they're going to move up and around, and that is one of the biggest secrets in Michigan, to be honest with you, because it is an absolutely beautiful fishery over there. You don't know if you're going to catch a coho over there, or Atlantic over there, or walleye over there, or sturgeon over there, or muskie over there. Just everything goes, and it's fast water. You got to really know what you're doing. You got to be careful because then the big cruisers come through and they throw a 4-foot wake at you.
Right, right.
You know, and you got to get that bow turned around and, you know, get into that wave so you don't get swamped.
All right.
The wall will come. So it's coming both ways.
All right, Mark Sack is joining us here. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back and talk more with Mark here. Listening to Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network.
You can send your suggestions, comments, or questions to us here via email at outdoormailbag@gmail.com. Now, back to Wild Michigan.
Turn the quiet up. Turn the noise down. Let this old world just spin around. I want to feel its way.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. Happy to have you here on the Michigan Talk Network. Being brought to you by our friends at Not Just Guns. NotJustGuns.com, Cedar Street at 127 in Mason. Look for their Wednesday night auctions. Mark it down on your calendar. Every Wednesday night, ammunition, firearms, everyday carry, all the things that you can get at Not Just Guns. Plus, more. They do consignments, all kinds of great stuff on that auction. And I had them auction a firearm of mine, an over and under, that I wasn't going to be using anymore, and just because I got so many shotguns as it is. Not that it's a bad thing, but this one in particular, I wanted something different, so I sold it, and I made a lot more money than I thought I was gonna. It was really nice. These guys really know their stuff, and they are very personable. Make sure you check them out, notjustguns.com. Real quickly, speaking of over and under, Mark Sack is our guest right now, and I bring that up because that's a great wing shooting gun, especially the one I had, but I've always wanted a Satori, so, you know, the savings is on for that. But I had the opportunity to hunt with then Lieutenant Governor John Cherry at Metamora, at the was it Hunter's Creek over there in Metamora?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And when I got there, I thought this was going to be some like media event that you hunt with Lieutenant Governor, isn't that? And it was just me. I'm like, well, this is cool. And as the governor went to take a phone call, I asked his security detail guy. I said, "So, did you do a background check on me?" He says, "No. Why should we?" No, well, we're good. We're good. That was it right there.
I love John Cherry. I could just tell you. And I don't care what party he's in or whatever.
Right.
John Cherry came over to our Lapeer County Pheasants Forever youth hunt. And he spoke to our kids about how cool it was that they were getting out hunting. He didn't have any security whatsoever. Guns everywhere.
Right.
How many politicians do you know that would go to a place like that with no security? And he was Lieutenant Governor at the time.
Right. Well, that's just it, too. That's why I ask about, you know, if they did a background check on me, because I'm hunting with Lieutenant Governor and shotgun. And I only met him like one time prior. And then I got this call and this invite. And it was kind of a one-sided hunt, though, because we used his dog. And the guy can shoot. So I don't think he's terribly worried about a security detail. And to answer your question about the politicians that I know, they're carrying, so I don't think they're worried.
Well, sure, I mean, but not shotguns.
No.
Well, and they're not going places where there's 40 guns around them.
Right. Well, Tom Barrett, you know, is a helicopter pilot, an Apache pilot for the National Guard, and he's a state senator, so not quite Lieutenant Governor, but Tom, I'm sure, can handle his own. He's a good guy.
Yeah, and that was just a joke.
No.
Because it was funny, but, you know, John was, he's a just a gung-ho Upland pheasant.
Oh, my gosh.
He just loves it. So it was a treat for our kids. I mean, hopefully they remember who he was. I mean, they're all, you know, all those kids are 12 years old and under at the time, you know, and they all sat there, and they didn't really probably know who they were really even talking with at that point. But, you know, hopefully years later they'll go, "Wow, that was kind of cool," you know.
Yeah, to me, it was a true treat because it was not a political thing. There was nothing politically motivated behind it. Right. We just happened to meet at the Outdoor-rama down in Novi and spoke with him briefly, handed him my card, introduced my daughter to him. And, you know, a few weeks later, I had a phone call. "Hey, you want to go hunting?" Why yep. Yes, I do.
Yep, so, that's cool. That's very good. We need more involvement like that, for sure. And we need more folks to get out fishing. You know, we need more calls from those guys to say, "Hey, take me out fishing. Show me what's so cool about this thing." You know, it would really help our state overall, because there's still a lot of craziness going on that are, you know, taking a lot of things away from the sportsmen in Michigan. And we're known for that, you know. When you talk Michigan, you know, when you were talking about the thumb way back, you know, Red Bear was from, he was from Pennsylvania.
Yes, yes.
And he used to come Michigan's thumb to get away, okay? That's where that whole thing with Michigan and Fred started, was in the thumb, actually. And then he found, you know, Grayling a little later, and he moved up to that area permanently. But it all started here in the thumb, and you know, we're just so known for our outdoors, and we just need to preserve that, you know.
Yeah, I agree. You know, a lot of people, you know, they go to the west side of the state, they go up north. I love up north, don't get me wrong, but for me, there's something about the thumb area that holds something very special, because it's more laid back, it's more thrown back, time wise. Than the West Side. The West Side, to me, you know, it's a very modern thing, a lot of it. And despite the rustic outdoors, there's still so much modern there, where you have on the east side of the state, it's almost kind of left alone. You go to places like Port Austin or Augray, places like that, or, you know, where you're at over in the, you know, deep part of the thumb. It's something that is not as explored as the west side of the state, because you have the sunset side and stuff. But I love the east side. You've got the Detroiters going north, and it's a whole different mentality, completely different.
Yep, it's really, there's townships here in the Thumb that haven't had a new home built in them in 40 years. I can tell you, they're the exact same as they were 40 years ago. So, and, you know, a lot of farming going on still. So, you know, there's, you know, it's probably the biggest secret in deer hunting that there are, because a lot of folks just don't post about it. But, boy, there's some beautiful deer over here.
Yeah, I know. I've driven through some of those areas and looking out the window going, doesn't anybody hunt up here? Because I'm seeing fantastic deer and lots of them. But Mark Sack is our guest here on Wild in Michigan. And, you know, Mark, we talked about this before we come onto the show, that there are no notes. There are no pre-described conversations that we go into during the show. And I wonder sometimes how people react to a conversation between me and you, or me and another guest, because this is what this is. It's a conversation about the outdoors. And if we throw something out there that somebody learns from, all the better.
Absolutely. And I hope they're sitting at home right now nodding their head going, oh, yeah. Because, you know, it really just need to get the word out to the rest of the folks, because when this whole, we get this virus behind us, a lot of these little mom and pop places are going to need us to come up and help them out a little bit. And that's one of my goals, I can tell you, is I'm going to hit some of these little bait shops around up by Lexington and up in the Thumb, up in the Tip, and I'm going to start fishing up there regularly and seeing if I can help out a little bit, you know, because, boy, it's been tough on them.
Yeah, it has. And you know what? These mom and pop places, you know, they don't have an online presence. You know, they're not Amazon. And, you know, Jeff Bezos didn't get to be the first trillionaire by accident. Okay. I get that. But places you go to that have been there forever, that are in these small towns, these bait shops, this is where the knowledge is. This is where a lot of stories start, are in these mom and pop shops, and we need, like you said, to keep them alive. I understand the convenience of point and click shopping, but seriously, those places don't have everything. The mom and pop shops know what works best in their area, and that's what they're catering to. I've gone into places like down on the Detroit River going, I'm looking at stuff going, what is this stuff? But you know what?
Oh, yeah.
It works.
Oh yeah. Trenton Lighthouse. Some of those bait shops down there are just fabulous. They've been going for 50, 75 years, and they've got some stuff down there that's art. It's pure art, you know. So Andy's Tackle Box is another one in Melvindale. Check that out if you ever get a chance. What a great shop.
Absolutely. Mark Sack is our guest here, outdoor writer. You can find the new article coming up in Woods and Water News. What's that? I want you to say it because it sounds so much better coming from you.
Have a crappy May.
That's awesome. And man, fishing is truly your thing, and it's nice. I'm not one to put the pen to paper, so to speak. I'm a blabbermouth. You know, I got those things in school, says Duran socializes a bit too much. Well, you know, now I get paid for it, so meh.
Yeah, good for you.
But right.
Actually in my 27th year of writing this year.
Wow. And me, yeah, 26 years of radio.
That I've made all those deadlines.
You're only right. See, radio, I just show up, man. This is 26 years for me, but we're going into 15 of Wild Michigan. Mark, I appreciate you as always. Look for the article in Woods and Water News. Look for Tom Nelson on the Outdoor Channel with the American Archer as well. And get ready to hit those rough fish. Maybe do some rail hunting, the walleye, the crappie are out there. So much to do in the Great Lakes State. Mark, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Dwayne.
Going to get to our friends at United Deer Farmers of Michigan. Also, Conquest Deer Sense over there in Davison. And Not Just Guns, Cedar Street at 127 in Mason. They are bringing you Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network. Don't forget our website and Facebook page as well.